In Russia, he's remembered as the leader who lost an empire. In the West, he is lauded for bringing an end to the repression of communist rule. The last leader of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, has died. He was 91. His reforms ended the Cold War, but also saw the collapse of the Soviet Union. Eleanor Burnhill from our foreign desk has been looking back at his life.
На меня высокие обязанности президента СССР.
The eighth and the last Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, affectionately known outside Russia as Gorby, he was feted in the West for helping to bring almost five decades of Cold War politics to an end. Born in 1931, he grew up under the rule of Joseph Stalin and worked with his parents on a collective farm before joining the Communist Party and rising up its ranks. Although emphasizing his commitment to socialism, Gorbachev used his time in power to push for reforms, to achieve openness and restructuring, the world becoming familiar with the terms glasnost and perestroika. But some Russians blamed his policies for creating mass poverty and ultimately the breakup of the Soviet Union, the collapse of which the current president Vladimir Putin famously described as the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the century. Despite their opposing ideologies early on in his leadership, Gorbachev would strike up a friendly dialogue with the then British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. This made it easier to thaw relations with the US, and 2 years later, he and President Ronald Reagan signed the first ever agreement between two superpowers to cut their nuclear arsenals.
Dovayai, no provayai. Trust but verify.
They were welcomed by the Taoiseach.
In 1989, he flew into Ireland for a summit with Charles Haughey at Shannon Airport. That same year, popular revolutions swept away communist governments in Eastern Europe, and Gorbachev encouraged East German leaders to open up the heavily guarded Berlin Wall to the West. He won the 1990 Nobel Peace Prize for the radical changes in East-West relations he helped to bring about. But back at home, the Soviet Union was coming apart, with states like Lithuania agitating for independence. In 1991, Communist Party hardliners attempted to remove Gorbachev from power, but they were faced down by the newly elected Russian President Boris Yeltsin. Gorbachev returned to office, but soon realized the balance of power had shifted, and he eventually resigned. On his 90th birthday, German Chancellor Angela Merkel said his contribution to her country's reunification would never be forgotten. More recently involved in humanitarian and environmental projects, Gorbachev has been a frequent critic of Vladimir Putin, who dismantled many of the liberties he worked to introduce. But even Putin himself conceded recently that Mikhail Gorbachev was a distinguished statesman who had significantly influenced the course of both Russian and world history.
Eleanor Burnhill reporting there. Well, we are joined now by Dr. Jenny Mathers, who's a senior lecturer in the Department of International Politics at Aberystwyth University in Wales. Dr. Mathers, you're very welcome to the programme. So he's regarded very differently in his native Russia and by those abroad. So what will his legacy be, do you think?
Well, I think it very much depends on who you ask. I think, as you said, in the West in particular, he's remembered for ending the Cold War, for reaching out to Reagan and to Thatcher and others, trying to find some common ground for negotiating really breathtaking arms control and arms reduction agreements, which, you know, up until that point had just been impossible to imagine. And for letting the Warsaw Pact countries go, and ultimately, you know, for resigning and leaving peacefully, leaving office peacefully, which was extraordinary for a Soviet leader. So I think in the West, we will have a lot of good memories of Gorbachev and a lot of praise for him. In Russia and other parts of the former Soviet Union, the picture is much different. I think a lot of people are like Putin are nostalgic for the greatness as they imagine it of the Soviet period, and regard the end of the Soviet Union as leading to a period when Russia was, you know, weaker and poorer and really not regarded so highly in the world. And of course, a number of the current independent states like Lithuania, Georgia, they remember that Gorbachev was actually in power during a period of great repression of their own nationalist uprisings. So it's a very mixed picture indeed.
He set out to reform the Communist Party and to stimulate the stagnant Soviet economy in the mid-1980s. Was it a failure on his part not to realise that he couldn't have this perestroika without collapsing the entire system?
Well, I think in hindsight, when we think about it, we realise quite how brittle and strangely fragile the Soviet system was. He genuinely believed that socialism could work, that the Soviet system could be reformed, that if he only inspired people, ordinary Soviet citizens, to become more active in politics and become more entrepreneurial and more active, then that would make a huge difference. But of course, the Soviet system was built in a very different way. And the more he tried to knock out the props that underpinned it, the more it began to collapse and fall apart on itself.
Crucially, as we know, he refused to intervene when Eastern Europe broke free from Moscow rule and the Iron Curtain came crashing down. Why didn't he send in the tanks like his predecessors would have done and communist leaders in China did?
Well, he was very firmly committed to reform. And, he did more than simply stand back and let things happen. He actively intervened in the sense of going to the leaderships of those various countries and imploring them to change and urging them over a number of years to introduce their own reforms and to try and get society on their side and change the basis of their rule. And they absolutely refused. And then when they refused to take his advice and things were falling apart, that is when he decided there's no point in sacrificing more life to try and keep a system going, which is just falling apart.
Now, he has been particularly critical of Vladimir Putin. He did support, though, the annexation of Crimea. He supported that so-called referendum, which allowed people there to have a say in who should govern them. But have many of his reforms that he introduced, have many of them since been rolled back, particularly under Putin?
I think there's very little left of perestroika and glasnost in today's Russia, and glasnost in particular. I mean, one of the things that Gorbachev did was use some of the money that he had from winning the Nobel Peace Prize to help found a new newspaper called Novaya Gazeta, which means new paper, which was really in the forefront of investigative journalism in post-Soviet Russia. And of course, that paper and many others, in fact, all other independent media sources in Russia, have had to close or move their operations abroad because of the most recent crackdowns against free speech in Russia. So it's very hard to see that there's much of anything left of Gorbachev's reforms now.
I just want to ask you finally about what's currently happening in Ukraine, because we know that the Ukrainian military is reportedly trying to retake the southern strategically important city of Kherson. It was the first major city to fall to Russia in the early days of the war, and it's still the only regional capital that Russian troops have been able to hold on to. Is it difficult, though, to predict how this will end at this point?
It is incredibly difficult to predict. I think at the moment, the Ukrainian authorities are really trying to keep details quiet. They're trying to maintain operational secrecy. And it's going to take a little time just to figure out or to find out what is actually happening in this counteroffensive. I think we can't expect this war, or this phase of the war, to go in a particularly straightforward direction any more than any earlier phase has gone over the last 6 months. Frankly, there's going to be advances on both sides and setbacks on both sides. So I think it's very significant that the Ukrainians are undertaking a counteroffensive and that they're doing it there. I think if they manage to break through and take control of that region and that capital city, that will be an enormous blow to Russia's war aims. And it'll be a huge morale boost as well as a practical military achievement for the Ukrainians. But I think it's too early yet to predict that victory.
Thank you very much indeed. Dr. Jenny Mathers, Senior Lecturer in the Department of International Politics at Aberystwyth University.